The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit, track budgets, and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Michael Steele Podcast. Well, if you know Roland Martin, you know what's about to happen. If you don't know Roland Martin, then buckle up and settle in because we're about to have some fun. My guest today is the one and only Roland Martin, the host and managing editor of Roland Martin Unfiltered, the first daily online show in history focused on news and analysis of politics, entertainment, sports, and culture from an African-American perspective, and the founder of Black Star Network. He is the author of four books, including White Fear, How the Browning of America is Making White Folks Lose Their Minds. He is a four-time NAACP Image Award winner, including named Best Host for the last 2 years, and has spent 6 years as a contributor for CNN. He is my guest today on the Michael Steele Podcast. Stay tuned. We'll be into it right after this. What up, what up, what up, everybody? Welcome to the Michael Steele Podcast. It's always a treat when you drop in, especially when I'm hanging out with an old friend who has been in my ear over the years when I was lieutenant governor, when I was national chairman, and just a brother from Prince George's in D.C. Roland Martin, the incomparable Roland Martin. It is such a treat, man.
Glad to be here. We finally make it happen.
Yeah, absolutely.
Let's get it.
And the only thing I want in return is a chance to come on Unfiltered, because I have not, since you launched Unfiltered, been on Unfiltered, so I can be unfiltered. And you know, for me, I do Unfiltered anyway.
you're busy getting a big MSNBC check, so when you got time to come hang out with little bro, just let me know. Just tell me. I'm there 5 days a week. Just pick a day. That's all you got to do. Pick a
day. All right, we're going to make
I ain't got a boss, so I ain't got to ask nobody.
You are the boss. Well, you've always been the boss, and that's something that, you know, some folks don't really like too much is when an African-American decides to cut their own path. I think of someone like Prince in the music industry.
Yep.
In the cable industry, you called the shot about streaming 2 or 3 years before it was the thing. You were already plotting and planning to make the move to create this platform in a way that now bears the success of Unfiltered.
Well, it was interesting because I launched the show September 4th, 2018. So TV1 canceled, News1 Now, December 9th, 2017. And when Alfred Liggins, the CEO, we were in his office in Silver Spring, and we knew they were looking at making some changes because they were looking at doing a debt refinancing. And so he was looking at making cuts. And so the talk was taking the show from a daily to a weekly. So even the senior vice president, D'Angela Proctor, she was shocked because she thought it was going to go from a daily to a week. not get canceled out completely. So we're sitting in his office. He's sitting across from me. I'm on the couch. He's in the chair. She's sitting to my right. And he says, hey, I'm ending the show. The natural reaction for people would think, like, you know, your stomach would sink. You would be,
right.
Dude, that was literally nothing. As he is talking, like literally, as he is talking, explaining to me why he's canceling the show, they're going to be refinancing debt, doesn't want the interest to be this. Dude, I'm literally planning.
Yeah. Yeah.
While he's talking, we go down to her office and she's like, I'm shocked. She goes, are you? I said, oh, I'm fine. I said, I'm planning. And I remember Jay Feldman, who was my longtime EP at TV1, he said, man, you should launch a podcast. I said, Jay, I don't want to do a podcast. Because what he didn't realize was, and I told him, I said, well, I'd already done that. A lot of people don't realize when I ran Chicago Defender, I launched the first Black news outlet podcast, audio podcast in 2005.
Wow.
I launched the video podcast in 2006. Mm-hmm. I was at a fellowship at Cal Berkeley, a media fellowship.
Right.
And I'm in that fellowship and I go, I'm creating that as soon as we get back. And I got back and I launched it. And so I'd already done it. So I was a decade ahead of everybody else. So it was something and then I did launch one. I was bored. And the guys who were running were like, you know, and it was so funny too. I never forget, Michael, because they were like, you know, but you got to do from a studio. I mean, you did one from the car. I said, see, right here, y'all have no idea what the hell y'all talking about. I did. I said, y'all are trying to produce radio that's now podcasting.
Right.
I said, but the point of podcasting is you're mobile. You can do it from anywhere.
Yeah.
And they go, well, it sounded like you were doing it from your car. I said, I was. and they weren't getting it. And I said, you know what, guys? We're good. I'm not going to do this. So when I launched the digital show, everybody, what are you doing? What's wrong with you? The audio podcast. I said, no, I'm telling y'all, this is where we're going. We launch it. 6 months, not even a year. Fox Nation, CBS expands their digital offering.
Uh-huh.
ABC News expands their digital offering. Every single network. And I'm sitting here going, I tried to tell y'all. and I kept trying to tell them as well. I said, there are too many podcasts.
Yeah.
I said, they're too many. I said, that's not going to work financially. And so what people don't realize is I went to a magnet school of communications. So I have lived and breathed media since I was 14 years old. So I've studied media. I've studied the history of media. I'm always following the trends. What's next? What's going
on? And that's the thing that I wanted people to just kind of hear a little bit of your story, too, because people don't get, and you said something that's very important. You have been a student of and a trendsetter in this space since you were 14, 15 years old.
Yep.
So you don't come to this late, like a lot of people are. And so how do you, when you're looking at where we are now, so you've got the podcast, you've got the YouTube piece, you've got all these other things. Now you're layering on TikTok, which could be a little bit of a slippery slope for a while. But all these other social media platforms, where do you see the trend lines heading next?
So
I predict yep. that what cable did to terrestrial radio and certainly the network television, streaming is doing to cable. And
yep.
and so that when you're looking at it through that lens, and then you're looking at these platforms and how they are integrated in and out of our established structures. Political, economic, social structures, and how they're driving messaging, narratives, brands.
Yep.
What do you see there? What are some of the pitfalls and dangers that you're assessing right now, but also the opportunities?
So when all of the networks lost their minds and start launching streaming platforms and start losing billions of dollars, I was like, here goes stupid again. because it was Internet 1.0. I was like, guys, they were sitting here going, oh, new frontier. I'm like, no, it's the same people.
Same people.
They're just turning this off and they're turning that on. And then what they did was, then they tried to replicate what was on broadcast and cable on streaming. And I'm like, that's why they start turning your ass off. They don't want to see the same thing.
They don't see it. They don't.
I remember when it was hilarious. I remember when, you cannot come on MSNBC or CNN via Skype. And I'm sitting there going, so y'all look, and again, this is,
and this is before COVID.
This is the right. And this is what people didn't understand. And I wish I had grabbed it. And I just moved to a new house. So in one of these boxes is a Comrex unit. I was one of the first people to get one. It was such the beginning when they had the coding. So I traveled so much in 2007, 2008 that I was a living guinea pig for Comrex. So I would travel and I would say, hey, this hotel's internet has a drop down box. It doesn't work with y'all box. I was giving them real time feedback.
Yeah.
So I was being portable then. And I'm sitting here going, the economic logic of Roland's in Detroit, book a production house, spend $1,500, pay for hair and makeup, and then y'all might cancel my hit was stupid.
Yeah.
When technology is, I can go live from anywhere with a portable light. You're not spending $1,500. COVID hits. All of a sudden, now they have no choice. I'll never forget MSNBC. I'll never forget MSNBC was like, damn, we can't figure the Skype thing out. I'm at home cracking up laughing on my end going, guys, all you got to do is do this, this, this. They were totally unprepared. And then next thing you knew, because before they like CNN, they were using the Cisco system. And so they were all over the place. And then they had to come to the realization the audience didn't give a shit. The audience was like, I just want to hear what you got to say. So all the old models of, no, the set and the background and the lighting, you got to have makeup and you got to have hair, all this sort of stuff. The artists didn't care what happened after COVID. They still didn't care.
That's right.
Because then they realized, damn, look how much money we were spending, which is always dumb. It was costing me $1,500 a week for Ubers to get my panelists to my studio. $1,500 a week. $6,000 a month. $2,000 a year. People ask me now, when your guests come back to the studio? They're not. Because it doesn't make economic sense for me to do that.
Right.
When at $72,000, I can hire me a producer.
That's it.
When you talk about where we're going, the first thing is, I'm not freaking out by AI, because here's why. AI in our business pulls from different, was already out there.
Right.
Well, when Michael Steele offers his perspective on what just happened in the Trump trial, AI can't create that. Because AI can't come up with the original thought that's in Michael's mind. And here's the other thing is, Michael, you may change the point of view.
Right.
AI is predicting what you're going to say, but all of a sudden you may go here. So I'm not freaking out. I'm not freaking out by AI. But what is about to happen, and this is where the cable news people are not paying any attention. They fought people. They held their digital rights, their linear rights, their broadcasting rights. They control their speeches and their books and all that sort of stuff. Now, sorry, gatekeepers, I don't need you. I got a real problem saying, when I left CNN, I was a $283,000 a year contributor.
Mm-hmm.
I make three times that speaking, books, show, because now I'm interfacing directly with sponsors, directly with advertisers.
Right. Right.
So what you're going to see is you're going to see more talent say, I don't really need it. When you look at artificial intelligence, and when you look at how everything is getting more small and more efficient, it's now going to create, again, you are obliterating studios. You are obliterating all of the things that they say we used to do.
Yeah.
So everything now is going to be so uber portable that it's going to completely change how we do broadcasting and where we do it from. And for guys like you and I, here's the piece. We no longer have to wait for somebody else to say, now you can have a show. Your opinion matters. Now we can say, if MSNBC decides to next week, hey, Mike, we're gonna end this show with in your contributor deal. You go, okay, turn right here. Mm-hmm. So what I'm trying to explain to
you, know who I'm calling when that happens.
But here's the deal, though. I'm calling this guy right here. But here's the thing. This is what I was just about to say. You can't wait.
Yeah.
The mistake that people are making is that they wait till something ends to go, okay, let me focus on here. No. When I was at CNN, I was buying my own equipment.
Gotcha.
My mindset was, this is me, Inc. I'm not full-time at CNN. I'm not full-time at TV One. I'm not full-time at Tom Joyner. They are clients. Right. I'm a vendor. So I was acquiring my own assets. So if anything happened, I can pivot and I already have the infrastructure to do the job. So when you mentioned TikTok, the mistake that people are making with the social media platform, I literally got a phone call with a young lady today. I said, you took all this time, put a great video out on Instagram, and it made you no money. The hell are you doing? I said, you should have put a 30-second clip on your Instagram and drove them to your YouTube channel. I said, because YouTube, out of all the platforms, including Facebook, is the best one for content creators. And so what I tell people, use TikTok for promotional purposes. Use Instagram and Twitter for promotional purposes and drive them to
YouTube.
And it's hysterical. But how much money did you make?
Right.
You made nothing.
Right.
Instagram made the money. People have got to stop being so excited, because here's the deal. Even on Instagram, I got 715,000 followers. I'm not reaching 715,000 people. At best, I'm reaching 4% of them. Mm-hmm. Because Instagram wants to make the money off my 715,000.
Mm-hmm.
So people have to learn, this is the most important thing, the business of the business.
Yeah.
To understand where the future is going. So that's why I read the trades. I read THR, Variety, The Wrap, I read Deadline. I'm reading Multichannel. I'm reading all these media publications and I'm reading the media writers for the New York Times and Wall Street Journal. All of this because all of the executives are talking about where we're going. Most of us, though, are just so happy just yapping, not realizing somebody else is controlling our future destiny
and
our future
money off.
Somebody can and absolutely and make money off of you.
Folks, you just got a lesson from one of the great digital minds in this space. Incredible entrepreneurial insight. For those of you who are kind of thinking about this, trying to figure out, I guarantee you some of the folks who are hearing this now, going back and rethinking, myself included, we calling the brother up and say, okay, so how can I do this again? Because
it happens all the time. People call me.
A lot of people, people don't think, they don't think, no. They don't see it the way you see it, which is why the vision is so important when you have someone who has the clarity of mind, who is entrepreneurial, who does get business of the business. That this man, I'm telling you guys, those of you particularly in this space trying to level up your game, listen to what we've just talked about. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to have a little political fun with my brother here, because he's been blowing it up lately on the political side too, as he does all the time. But my guest, Roland Martin, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll have some more with Roland right after this.
Facepalm America is a show for progressives and others on the left who want to keep up with the ridiculousness that this country dishes out, find out what cable news misses when they're waiting for Trump to appear at a podium, and also, every once in a while, get a laugh at how silly this hot mess of a nation of ours really is. If that's you, listen to Facepalm America. You can go to facepalmamerica.com or find us on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, everybody, to Michael Steele Podcast. As I said, before we went to break, we wanted to dive into the deeper end of the pool with my man, Roland Martin, because Roland, you have been, it's funny, I've known you a long time, and I could never pinpoint your political persuasion. There are days you sound like a liberal Democrat, and there are days you sound like a conservative. Most people would say, well, that's a moderate in the main. It's not that. You bring sort of a perspective to politics. Your political analysis, I think people underrate your ability to sort of talk about and give analysis to current events, relate them to historical events, and push it forward to say, y'all need to be looking for this because this is what's about to happen. How do you assess this current political climate? And I got some specifics I want to get into, but
yeah,
just broad base off top line, looking at the bullshit coming out of Trump world, looking at the inability of our court system to deal effectively with this asymmetrical player, looking at Republicans just bend over backwards and just expose themselves to Trump. What's your assessment? Oh, and by the way, Democrats not having a clue how to run a campaign to beat this MF-er. Yep. What is your assessment right now?
The first thing is Democrats and Republicans and independents and whatever else you want to call you have to understand that the politics that we knew of no longer exists.
Yes.
It doesn't exist. I dropped this book in 2009, and mm-hmm. this was my coverage of the first President Barack Obama's road to the White House, as originally reported by Roland S. Martin. So this is my reporting on the Obama presidential campaign. This is now obsolete. How Obama ran, how he governed, is literally obsolete.
Yep.
Because first, there used to be a thing called morals and values. If you said something racist, if you decided to speak at a white supremacist conference, if you had lunch with a white supremacist, a white nationalist, you were crucified by your own people.
Yeah. Yeah.
The day Donald Trump mocked Senator John McCain,
amen,
and there paid no price,
no price.
I told everybody, I said, y'all, game over. So when you hear media go, oh my goodness, there's a new bottom for Donald. No, there's no new bottom because there's no bottom.
Right.
It doesn't exist.
It does not exist.
You're not dealing with a traditional person. Senator Mitch McConnell. Oh, why did he not vote for impeachment? Oh, because we think this is going to be it. He's going to go away. What happened? The reality is, right now, Republican Party would not be dealing with any of this crap with Trump. And they likely will be ahead of Biden by 10, 12 points right now if they had actually voted for impeachment.
They did. I could not tell you how true that is.
But they were so scared to death. Here's what was dumb. They were so scared to death of him. I'm like, you could have mortally wounded him.
Yep.
Had you voted for impeachment, his followers could have yelled, hollered, and screamed, and it wouldn't have mattered because he would have been ineligible for running again.
That's it.
He would have been rendered obsolete. But they figured, remember Susan Collins, I think he learned his lesson after the first impeachment. What happened? So you got that going. On the Democratic side, first of all, let me do back. And then the other thing is this here with Republicans. And when I called out Chris Christie on ABC this week, September 2021, was so funny. The folks at Newsbusters thought they were dissing me by posting it. It got 1 million views in 48 hours. The thing trended for 72 hours, and Christie was pissed. And I haven't been back on ABC this week since.
Right.
Even though you would think when something explodes, you're like, yo, put that guy back on because he killed it. So, but that's on them. ABC this week, they got my phone number. They know how to call a brother.
That's
right. But guess what? Every single time George Stephanopoulos interviews a Sununu or one of these people, it goes back to what I told Chris Christie. You have no morals, no values, no principles or ethics when you put it all aside and say, I'm still going to vote for him. I'm still going to support him.
That's it.
And I'm like, when Christie was sitting there saying it, I was kind of like, dude, you won't even own up to saying you're never going to vote for him. Look at Bill Barr. Trash the man, call him stupid, ignorant, everything. I'm still going to vote for him. And so we can go on and on. Sununu, same thing, because it's about power. It's not, as I said to Chris Christie, it's not about party. It's about party and power. It's not about patriotism. It's not about the country. It's not about any of that. It's sheer power. Now, what they don't understand is what you're unleashing. So guess what? Now, you don't have any blowback. You can be Marjorie Taylor Greene,
right,
who sits in a committee hearing and say, we don't like white nationalists, but you stood next to shook Nick Fuentes' hand and spoke at his conference.
Right.
You have Gosar and all these other people who are outside of their minds. So you unleash. What you've done is you have pulled the cap that was suppressing all of that hatred, and you said, hey, we wide open.
Yep.
And so the followers, we can say what we want, do what we want, because our man is the same way. On the Democratic side, Biden comes in. What the hell did he keep saying? He said the same bullshit Hillary Clinton did when she ran 2016. As, no, I'm not going to criticize Republicans. I'm going to criticize MAGA. Well, it's the same. The numbers, it's the same. I'm like, it's the same. And so Biden kept up, the Republican Party I knew will come back when Trump's gone. No. I'm like, what the hell are you doing?
We're having that conversation every day,
gone. They ran out Boehner. They ran out Ryan. They ran away. So many people like, man, I don't even want to deal with y'all people anymore. And that's who's running the show.
Yeah.
And so Democrats don't want to have to deal with. And look, Michelle Obama, when she said, when they go low, we go high. No. When they go low, bust their ass lower.
That's it.
If they hit you in the thigh, hit them in the knees.
If
they hit you in the shin, hit them in the bottom of their feet. Because the reality is you cannot placate and toy with evil. You must destroy evil. You must take it out. Get cut all the cancer out of my body. You can't be like, we're going to leave a little cancer around, because you know what? It might keep spreading. And that's been the problem. And the thing that I also keep saying, and this is where you look at just economically, I'm looking at people make decisions, and I'm looking at all these broke white folks talking Trump. And I'm like, that man wouldn't even let y'all in his lobby in D.C.
No,
that man despises y'all.
Why don't they get that? Why don't they get that? What is it with that connection?
Easy. 2004, Howard Dean said, God gave guns. The thing about broke white people in the 21st century is the same way they got them to fight for the Civil War.
Interesting.
It's about country.
Uh-huh.
It's about duty. It's about honor. So when Trump stands up there, I'm going to make America great again. Oh, we feel better about ourselves. Trump's a tough man. He's fighting for us. Not fighting for you. He picked a fight with China over tariffs when he was in the Oval Office, and there were farmers who literally went out of business. I read one of the most insane stories of my life when a dairy farmer says, I lost my family business, but I would vote for Trump again. I'm like, are you crazy?
Yeah.
And so what he's done is he's pressing their emotional buttons. He's pressing and yes. And see, this is the problem when we talk about even how race comes into this conversation, because what he's doing is, for those who are white, he is pressing not racist feelings, but racial feelings.
Yeah.
See, the problem when we say about racism, we go racist, not racist. Now, I realize it, it's all the stuff in between.
It's all the stuff in between. Yep.
Cats don't want to deal with that. So he's pressing those particular buttons. Then you have disaffected Black folks and Latinos who kind of like, well, I don't like what's going on over here with immigration, or I don't like this here. Then you got the people who say, well, I'm an ardent opponent of abortion. Trump is we know he pro-choice. He's pro-choice, all that. But what they don't understand is he's playing them. And he doesn't care. But what they've done is he says the things a lot of them always wanted to say.
Yep.
And there's no repercussion. Yep. So they're like, that's our man. What they don't understand is what he's destroying in the wake is crazy. He convinced them Mexico's going to pay for the wall. I was like, no, they're not. They're not cutting a check. But these folks actually believed it. He's over here. Oh, yeah. China can pay for the tariffs. That's like, tariffs don't even work that way. Everybody knows how tariffs work. The consumer pays. And this is why it was so wrong of media to allow him to lie. Because what he did was lie a little bit, lie more, lie more. He's kind of like, let me do it. Lie more, lie more, lie more. Let me do it. Now more. Then it went to fake news. Because what that did became is anything that I say ain't real is fake.
Right.
His supporters went, okay, you're good. And so the man lies about lies.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so then the Republican Party goes, and this is what I keep telling everybody. I say, y'all, most of these Republicans in Congress, in the House, in the Senate, it's people like Lindsey Graham.
Mm-hmm.
If they want to be on, they hate Trump.
Mm-hmm.
They privately say he's an idiot. Yep. They privately say he is the dumbest person we've ever seen. They believe he's a charlatan, a tax cheat. He's immoral, but he is the conduit to power.
He's conduit to power. So when you're looking at the other side of the street, so you talk about how the white voter is transfixed by Trump and Trumpism because it is, I call it, he's their avatar. He's their representation of the things that they feel, the way they would like to see America again, and all of that. You've had recently a number of conversations emerge on the other side of the block, the Black community, where there's more and more talk specifically about Black men and their relationship with Trump. I want to play. Well, there's so many ways I want to come at this one, but I want to play first off Stephen A. And he defended Donald Trump, saying Black people like me, because of the indictments, that whole when Donald Trump's attitude is, well, Black people support me because they see me the way they've experienced the criminal justice system. Let's take a quick listen and see what he had to say here.
But I got to tell you something. As much as people may have been abhorred by Donald Trump's statement weeks ago, talking about how Black folks, he's hearing that Black folks find him relatable because what he's going through is similar to what Black Americans have gone through. He wasn't lying. He was telling the truth. When you see the law enforcement, the court system and everything else being exercised against him, it is something that Black folks throughout this nation can relate to with some of our historic, iconic figures. We've seen that happen throughout society. So no matter what race, what ethnicity you may emanate from, we relate to you when you're suffering like that because we know we have. And that's what he articulated.
So that's what he said. Now, as I said to y'all at the beginning of this conversation, this brother don't take nothing from nobody. So Roland had a response.
Black folk don't identify with Donald Trump because Donald Trump is not being persecuted. Show me a Black person, please, who could be in court and the judge issue a gag order and then this person violates the gag order. Show me a Black person in America who could insult a judge and his daughter and still be walking around free. Donald Trump did that. He did that.
Talk to me about that. What is Stephen A. getting at with that? I mean, what, in my view, when I heard that, I was like, Are you clear on understanding what we're talking about here? Donald Trump is not being persecuted. He's being prosecuted for his criminal behavior, but the justice system, as evidenced by the fact that all of these trials got delayed, all of them got delayed, pushed,
right.
And three of the four probably won't even happen now until after the election because of that. The gag orders were slow in coming. You had to force it out of the judge, just to your point, because no one else would have been able to get away with what he's been able to get away yep. with. What is the thinking there for African-Americans in particular to sit there and think, oh, he's being persecuted like us?
All right. So here's what happened here. Stephen A. took two thoughts. And because they butted back to back, that thing took off like crazy. And then he came back, was like, well, it was taken out of context. No, no. You can't take something out of context that came out of your mouth. Now, right. Now, what I infer is based upon what you imply, but you actually said it. So what he should have said was, if this is one, he should have said, Donald Trump said this, that there are black people supporting me because I'm going through what they've gone through. He then should have said, pause. I have heard that from some people. Now, that's a separate issue. Do I believe that he is being targeted by the criminal justice system? The answer is yes, because he's been on record with that. But he meshed those two together, which is why he had to do one statement and do a second statement, and he's still getting taken through the ringer on right. the whole deal. And so, again, when you have to clarify two, three times, that means you ain't do that shit right the first time.
Yeah, right.
So, yeah, you ain't do it right the first time. And it's also, Stephen A., that's why Hannity booked you. That's why I also blasted Hannity, because at the end of the segment, Hannity goes, you know, Stephen A., you know, you're right. There is injustice in the criminal justice system. My friend, you 1,000% right. And that's what I said, really, Sean? Well, please show me when you discuss it on your show.
Mm-hmm.
Please show me when you've had these segments on your show discussing the injustices in the criminal justice system against African Americans. I don't recall seeing those segments. That was an example of Stephen A. You getting played by your boy Hannity.
There you go.
You got booked to affirm a position that he liked. You said it. His audience is like, see, black guy Stephen A. says it.
Yep.
So what's wrong with y'all? When the pushback came. When it's completely nonsense. The fact of the matter is, Donald Trump has never been held accountable for what he's being dealt with. And this is what how I broke it down. This is real simple. You can't say he's being targeted in the classified documents case when all he had to do was hand them back. No, he didn't want to do that.
It's just, oh, here, my bad, take the documents.
He was like, these are mine. These are mine. And his lawyers were like, say, dog, turn the documents over.
Right.
He didn't want to do it.
He didn't want to do it.
They raided. Yeah, we gave you a year back and forth. Now we've shown up. Then we find out you moved boxes, you hid stuff. Your lawyers took notes saying, I ain't getting disbarred over his punk ass. And so that's on you, bro. You can't blame everybody else because you moved the documents. And now we know from one of the witnesses, you promised them a pardon for their actions. That's called obstruction. That's why you on trial in that particular case.
That's it. It's not complicated.
You have admitted you paid the porn star. And here's the crazy thing, which why I was like, Stephen A., what are you talking about? Michael Cohen was, he was targeted and he pled guilty from the Trump Department of Justice.
Yes.
For the same thing Trump is on trial for.
Right.
So you can't say, well, this is unfair to Trump that he's being hit with the payments of Stormy Daniels when Trump's own Department of Justice under Bill Barr prosecuted Michael Cohen, the lawyer, for the same crime.
Same crime. That's it.
But again, what this is there are people who Trump has convinced, this is unfair, this is wrong, I'm being targeted. And when Stephen A. says, well, you know, the Democrats, beat them fair and square, Stephen A., they did. And he lied about that.
I'm sorry.
That's why he's got in charge in Georgia, because he tried to overthrow the election. So it's like, what are you talking about? But this is what we're dealing with. We are dealing with people. And this is because we mentioned the whole deal with black men. And this is the thing that I explained this years ago, because I had a white colleague who said, I don't understand black people and Minister Louis Farrakhan. I said, because here's what you don't get. I said, black men respond to strength.
Strength. That's it. They always have.
When you got a black man,
it's true,
who stands up, back straight, erect, and he's willing to challenge folks and call folks out, they may say some crazy stuff, but folks like, yo, I'm with that, bro.
Right.
Now, again, now everybody listening, I ain't saying Farrakhan is Trump. What I'm trying to explain is the psychology. So why is it the Nation of Islam took men, brothers who came out of prison, who had drug problems or whatever? Because they exuded strength. Why did the Fruit of Islam, their security forces, went and cleaned up public housing complexes? Because folks like, yo, man, don't mess with the Fruit. Don't mess with the Fruit. You know, them dudes don't play.
That's right.
Don't mess with the Fruit. So that's all about. So what you have here is, you see, I'm about to blow some people away. In 2000, I remember reading the Associated Press story. It was a Philadelphia barbershop where some brothers were quoted as saying, that dude, George W. Bush, he say what he mean, and he mean what he say, and he's strong and he's tough.
Mm-hmm.
They literally said that.
Yep.
So people have to understand is, that is appealing, and also some Hispanic men and white men. That is a male
thing. Yep.
What I then follow up to the brothers is, okay, but are you listening to what he's saying? So you are responding to the external, oh, right, man, he's strong, but do you understand what he's going to do to your behind,
right,
if he gets the power?
That's it.
And so,
that's
it. And so, and what Democrats, and this is the failure of Democrats, this is what nobody wants to talk about. That was a 9-point gap,
yep,
between black men and black women in 2012 with Obama Romney. Because I was hearing in the 2012 reelection from brothers, man, Obama, he ain't done enough for us.
Right.
9-point gap. Now, right, are black men still the second largest voting bloc for Democrats? Yes, but it was 9 points in 2012. And I said then, Michael, hey, Democrats, y'all need to have a specific black male focus, or this thing is going, it's going to expand. It's what happened in 2016?
Yep,
it goes sure to 13. The problem was a bunch of sisters kept saying, misogyny, misogyny. You don't want Clinton. Do I believe that there were brothers who did not want to vote for a woman? Yes. I said, but y'all, it was 9 points in 2012, and that was two men. It went to 13. And so what happens? 9, 13, and then, according to Terrence Woodbury, Tom Tillis got 18% of the black male vote. And so what happened was, so in 2020, Trump's coattails helped Tillis get reelected in North Carolina.
Sure did.
Democrats were asleep at the wheel and not understanding the numbers. I said, guys, if y'all don't deal with, I said to Jamie, I said it on the air, on radio, I said, this thing is going to get wider. And what's going to happen is you're going to look up and that sucker's going to be at 30 and 35 and 40. Now the floodgates are open. The same thing that happened to Democrats when they were playing around and ignoring what was happening in South Texas, which was a strong Democratic hold with Latinos, then all of a sudden, Republicans started investing money in
sure
South
did.
Texas.
Sure did.
Elections start
yep.
changing
yep.
because they saw how the demographics were changing. Here's another point that's important for your audience, Michael. For overall, for black people, I'm 55. My dad turned 77 April 25th. My mom is 77 in November. So I've been tracking this since I graduated from Texas A&M. In December 1991. I've been paying close attention. So my first election voting presidential was 1980.
Mm-hmm.
What then happened, and I saw it in real time because I knew the conversations. So here we are in college. My brother's first generation. I'm first generation. So I'm listening to the brothers and sisters at Texas A&M, and we go visit the campuses. So now all of a sudden, higher education, going to be higher income. Now, all of a sudden, things that we are now talking about, our parents never even thought about. My parents combined never made more than $50,000 a year.
Right.
So my parents wouldn't think about no capital gains. My parents weren't thinking about the high yield investments, or they ain't thinking about the top tax bracket because they ain't even close to it. What then happens? Brothers and sisters start graduating. They start opening businesses. Now all of a sudden, your perspective is totally different. Then every year, the further you got away from the civil rights movement, the percentage went down of who self-identified as Democrats. You said it off the top. I have never in my life self-identified with either party.
Right. You have.
Now, self-identifying, does it, you still can say, do you lean? How do you vote?
Right.
Self-identify.
Right. That's it.
So if I don't self-identify, that means I actually will listen to what you got to say. Now, you ain't saying nothing. Okay, whatever.
And then
if you over here, if you're not speaking to all 10 of my issues, but you're speaking to 5 and they speaking to none, well, hell, 5 out of 10 is more than 0 out of 10. So what then happens? Remember, I'm 55, Gen X. Now, all of a sudden, you get to millennials. You get to Gen Z.
Yeah.
King is assassinated in 1968. All of a sudden, yo, hold up, wait a minute. How far are we away? Now, all of a sudden, we are so far away, so further away, that now you have so many African-Americans, and I saw this in Georgia, 2022 runoff, Herschel Walker, Senator Raphael Warnock, Black woman owned a coffee shop. I'm talking to her, and she said, listen, I understand abortion. I'm a woman. She said, but I ain't having kids. I am listening to both sides because I'm listening who's going to be right for me on corporate taxes.
Mm-hmm.
That's what she said. Mm-hmm. So the reason Democrats, and they've been falling asleep because they've been trying to operate by the old playbook, and Republicans been trying to play by the old playbook because Republicans are not serious about investing in Black people, even though they're actually, it's actually there, depend upon the city and the state.
It's true.
But what Democrats don't understand is, yo, you now are going to have to spend 2 to 3 times more money, more time to get the same people out they like, I ain't feeling you. And now, because when you look at voting patterns, 65 plus votes higher than anybody else, then it's 55, 64, then you go down. Well, as you keep going down, the number lessens. So 18 to 39 is the lowest voting block. Well, guess what? That's now the largest population. So they got no problem with the couch. Now, you and I could not think about the couch because we'll be getting our asses whooped by our parents.
That's right. Yes, exactly.
These cats are like, and fewer Americans are going to church. So the old system of going to the Black church, that no longer is a political strategy.
It's broken, yeah.
So now that's changed. Social media is driving it. All these things, and then fewer numbers. And so now Democrats are now in peril because, let me be clear, and I got no problem saying it, white Democratic strategists control the money, control the message, control the narrative. They historically, just how you were treated, even though you were chair of the party, they don't want to listen to Black people.
Yep,
you have very few Black campaign media strategists. They don't want to listen to Black pollsters, don't want to listen to Black senior campaign executives. Very few Black people have actually run campaigns. And so what then happens is they say, well, we'll take it under advisement. And now they're so hell-bent on the suburban voter and the high in the college-educated voter, not realizing that you trying to focus up here when your base, you can't build from the top down.
Right.
You got to build bottom up. So if you don't take care of your base and your base erodes, it don't matter how many white folks you get in the suburbs. If your base is gone in Philadelphia and Pennsylvania, if your base is gone in North Carolina, your base is gone in Michigan. Look what happened to Mandela Barnes.
There you go.
50,000 vote drop off in Milwaukee alone in 2022 compared to 2018. Mandela Barnes was from Milwaukee. I talked to activists who said, yo, man, we never heard from his campaign. So guess what ends up happening? You lose by 26,000 votes. If you don't have a 50,000 vote drop off, Mandela Barnes is the United States Senator.
Yeah. Yeah.
But they're not paying attention.
They're not paying attention.
And black people are trying to tell them. And I said the Biden campaign must start running for re-election the day after the inauguration. Folks are like, man, what's wrong with you? I said, I'm telling y'all. I said, you cannot execute an old model in a new paradigm. And so the problem they have now, and now Israel Gaza, has now exposed it further. And so, yes, I'm seeing the polling numbers. I know there's concern about his age. I understand where Trump is. But the only way Trump wins is if two things happen. He drives up disaffected white people who have not voted the last 1, 2, 3 presidential elections.
Right.
And traditional Democratic voters decrease. The numbers have not lied. The black voter turnout has dropped in successive elections. And Democrats do not have a strategy right now. So I've said it clear. Gene O'Malley, Anita Dunn, y'all better wake the hell up. Because I'm telling you, if y'all think your models in 2020 still work in 2024,
no, it doesn't.
Y'all got nothing coming because the couch is a real option for a lot of people. And elections are won by the margins now. You don't have multiple states, Michael, where you're winning now by 200,000, 300,000, 500,000 votes. Georgia, what, 12,000?
Yep.
Arizona,
yep.
10,000.
Yep.
Michigan was 110,000. Wisconsin, remember, 2016, Trump won the presidency because of 77,000 votes in Pennsylvania, Michigan, and Wisconsin.
That's it.
So if you're Democrats, that couch matters. Flip side, if you get up there and you work the hell out of North Carolina, you can actually flip North Carolina. But you can't do what Sherry Beasley did as a black woman running for United States Senate, listen to a white strategist, run a law and order focused campaign. You can turn off black people. Then you don't campaign with the vice president when she comes to the state or the president. How the hell you think you're going to win? That's how she lost by 110,000 votes.
There you go. So before I let you get out of here, what with all of that, you still, in what you're saying, I guess the question becomes, so that couch is a place where people are going to go.
It's real, bro. It's real.
No, I know it is real. I know it's very real. So it does it matter when someone says, I want to be a dictator? Does it matter when you have someone who you know is a bad actor seeking the presidency? What is going to the couch achieves what? Why are you going to the couch in the face of that?
Because you hear people say, man, listen, we hear that 4 years. I mean, nothing didn't blow up. So, I mean, I'll be fine. Not realizing that Project 2025 is real. The people are, but when you mention the dictator, they're not hearing that because they're not listening
right to
MSNBC, CNN, ABC, NBC, CBS, Fox News. They're not. And then, and I said this here, bro, and people don't get it. I said, which is actually one of the reasons why I launched my platform. The retirement of Tom Joyner in December 2019 was huge. Let me say this real clear. Tom Joyner had the dominant urban morning show in the country, nationally syndicated.
Yeah.
If you, right now, this is no disrespect to any of them, but if you take Steve Harvey, Ricky Smiley, Erica Campbell, Breakfast Club, Deal Hughley, and combine them, they still will not talk about public policy and elections as much as Tom Joyner did by himself.
Yeah, that's true.
So now you no longer have that national town square. Breakfast Club does some things, but not like Tom did. My man DL, he's putting the work in, but is that the same? Because he's afternoon drive, not morning drive.
Right, right.
So that's also critical. So what has to happen, and this is where my platform and others are critically important, because my YouTube channel is 65% black men. What you have to have is, and this is what I've said publicly, I've said it privately, I said to, on the Democratic side, January, they didn't listen. Y'all should be launching massive education and enlightenment and listening conversations in multiple cities and towns all across America. I said, you should be doing 8 to 10 a month from January to July. Your convention is in August. I said, then you should be doing 30 every single day, September, in October, in Georgia, in those 7 critical battleground states. What they also are not understanding is the impact is going to be on down ballot.
Yeah, sure is.
See, so the point, what I was trying to get them to understand is, they go, man, we did this. Don't nobody know. Because y'all didn't sit here, y'all didn't market it. You didn't tell nobody. Don't nobody know. So now you got to go to the people, and it's in the data. Terrence Woodbury and Cornell Belcher, it's in their different data of the polling. They, Woodbury says, when people say this didn't happen. And then when Woodbury says they did this, people go, damn, really? Their viewpoint changes. So if you don't explain to folks, so that means if you're Georgia, can't be Atlanta. You can't say I'm going to go to hold an event at the gathering spot. No, you got to go to Statesboro. You got to go to Albany. You got to go to Savannah. You got to go to Augusta. You got to actually go to those places and drive. And all of a sudden, amplifying and driving the conversation and not talking about
it. On that point, it's a little bit what you were saying about the social media, driving, having TikTok, et cetera, drive to YouTube.
as our dear friend, the late Joe Madison said, got to put it where the ghost can get it. You can't sit here off white paper. No, you got to break this thing down. You got to say, it's stupid to say we provided $7 billion to HBCUs. No, you got to say the state of Florida gave Florida A&M $48 million. They've gotten $200 million from us. And then you got to break it down by school. You got to do it. Black people understand call and response. I never forget, I'm going to leave my last point here. Biden gives a speech in North Carolina. And he's at North Carolina A&T. And he throws out this, oh, you know, we've done this here. And the same thing at Howard University graduation. I said, no, bro, that ain't how black people do it. That ain't how we do it. No, you say, Howard, your university received, we gave y'all this over the last 3 years. Not that building right there, we forgave the loan for that building.
Yep.
And you know what we also did? Here's what Morgan State got. Here's what Coppin got. Here's what University of Maryland Eastern Shore got. Here's what Norfolk State got.
Yep.
And Virginia State and Virginia Union and Mohawk. You know what's going to happen? People like, it's going to be like in a church. It's going to be
Yep.
You go, boom. And you say, North Carolina, the Republicans in that state gave a Winston-Salem State this amount of money, but they got $150 million from us. You make it plain, and people go, damn, hold up, what?
Mm-hmm.
State only gave them $25 million, but they got $150 million from the Biden folks? That, see, when you throw out the big number, that ain't saying it.
Right.
I say, man, if I'm Biden Harris, I don't have any public event unless I got at least 5 people in the audience who got student loan debt relief. Yeah. And I say, before I get to my remarks, Kim, stand up. That sister right there, $78,000 forgiven. Bobby, stand up, $120,000. I would have that ad running right now. This, Michael, this is the easiest ad in the world. Let's say my name is Jim. I'm on camera. Thank you, Joe. On the bottom, it says, Jim, firefighter, $100,000 forgiven. And the next person, thanks, Joe.
Right.
Thank you, President Biden. That's the whole ad.
That's the whole ad.
Black, white, Latino.
That's the whole ad. Yep.
Purple hair.
The whole ad.
I'm showing name and how much was forgiven. And they the closest in. We've forgiven $143 billion in student loan debt, and we're not going to stop now. We're going to continue. This ad. I'm like, y'all. You can't run that in October. You got to drop that now.
You got to drop it now. You got to drop it now. Yep.
Say, dog, this ain't hard. When you understand how you have to connect with people in a totally different way,
Yeah.
That's why you think Tim Scott and Trump keep saying, oh, he's done more for black HBCUs than any president in history. But they never give a number.
They never give a number. No. Nope.
There you go. Never
give a number. There you go. Roland Martin. Folks, we started talking about his emergence into the tech space, and he gave us a little bit of a lesson. We slipped over into the political space, and he's laid out a strategy that is smart, connective, and important if you want to win. Roland Martin, man, you bring it every time. I appreciate you, brother. Like, no other.
I appreciate it. Can't wait to have you on the show. Then you got to come to the studio because I got a black studio. We got art and color. And it, trust me, it ain't nothing like you seen at MSNBC, CNN. It's a black studio.
It's a black studio. And that's it. That's all that matters to me, baby. That's what matters. I know what's in the room. I know what's
in the room. Oh, yeah. Folk come in, they're like, I said, now y'all know I can't have no regular studio.
I went and I did Don Calloway's podcast. Man, we sat down there with some bourbon from Kentucky, and we started for 2 hours. I'm like, yeah, this is what I'm talking about. This is how you do a podcast. So I know your studio is hooked.
We do a little different. I'm right there, two blocks from the White House.
I love it. Done. We're going to make that happen.
Let's make it happen. Appreciate it.
You got it. Roland Martin, one of a kind, folks. Check out Roland, hashtag Roland Martin Unfiltered Daily Digital Show. You can follow Roland on Twitter at Roland S. Martin. He's a brother in the space. He knows what's going on. He shares what's going on, and he gives you some insights that you probably largely ignored because you didn't believe it. Well, believe it when you hear it from him. Roland Martin, all the best to you. That does it for this time together, folks. Thank y'all for joining me. Do the download thing. You know I love it when you do. Until next time, be safe, be well. God bless.
Is it just me, or have we all lost our minds? It's a question more and more people are asking themselves, afraid to admit they already know the answer. It's also a podcast, one about people coming together in a time of division and uncertainty to talk about culture and politics, compromise and connections. It's about challenging the norms we've come to accept as a society and working together to find common ground. Fierce and Unfiltered, host Jennifer Horn is a former Republican strategist and party leader turned independent sanity activist. One way or another, we've all lost our minds. Join Jennifer Horn in the search to find them again.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21+. Terms and conditions apply.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.